Well, in the in that roundtable group that I've been part of for several years with Carrie Call, one of the phrases that has been mentioned numerous times is that God is still speaking. God is still speaking. It means that God is still active and involved in the events of the world and with individuals, you know, since the time of the Bible. So think about it. The last book of the Bible is the book of Revelation and is generally considered to be the last book to have been written, probably around 95 AD, thereabouts. But then, after that, the process of compiling the different manuscripts into the official Bible, you know, the process called canonization, that took almost 300 more years until we finally had our completed Bible. So the question is, has God been silent, you know, inactive since then? Did he go dormant? Or is God still speaking, as the question goes? Okay, as an example, we've talked more than once in the past about the story of Julian of Norwich. Kieran, you remember this, yeah. Some of you may remember this. Now, here's a very brief summary of that story, Julian of Norwich. Julian was a young woman living in a nunnery, essentially, in England in the 1300s. And at the age of 30, she contracted the Black Plague. Ugh. Not what you want, right? And she slipped into a coma, and she was expected to die. They conducted her last rites. But during the five or so days that she was in a coma, she experienced 16 distinct visions, which she later called revelations. And those revelations included clear conversations with Jesus. And then she woke up, and she fully recovered. And she went on to write the book, The 16 Revelations of Divine Love, which I have a copy of. I think Kieran might have a copy too. Maybe some of the rest of you do. We might have a copy downstairs. Now, of the 16 revelations, my favorite is definitely the 13th. And in the 13th revelation of divine love, she asks Jesus a question. It's a classic question. She says, "Why are bad things allowed to happen?" Right? Why is evil permitted to exist? Yeah, why is there such a thing as a black plague? She probably asked him. It'd be a good question. And Jesus responded to her lovingly. He knew that was a good question, a fair question. Jesus said to her, "You need to trust me. I cannot explain it to you now. You will not understand it now. But the answer is, it must be allowed. It must. It must be allowed. In this realm, in this existence, here on earth, evil and bad things will happen. But," he went on, "but ultimately," he said, all will be well, and all manner of things will be well. All will be well, all will be well, and all manner of things will be well." Now, I told that story one time, told that story here too, but I told that story one time at a Bible study group, not here. And someone sort of scoffed at it and said, well, that's not in the Bible. Well, no, that's true. That's true. Guess what? Neither is Martin Luther or St. Patrick or Mother Teresa or Billy Graham or Kathy Moyer. There's lots of things that aren't in the Bible. Anything that happened in the last 2,000 years isn't in the Bible. There are lots of things that aren't in the Bible because the Bible is almost 2,000 years old. But is God still speaking? Active? Well, sure. Of course. Of course he is. And that doesn't mean that every story is true. No. We have to be discerning and let the Holy Spirit guide us to the truth as Jesus instructed. Now, to me, the 13th revelation of divine love experienced by young Julian of Norwich, you know, while she lay in the grips of the Black Plague, that rings especially true to me. It rings true because it is so in line with the ministry and the nature of Jesus Christ. Jesus never said life would be easy, did he? In John 16:33, Jesus said, quote, in this world you will have trouble. Again, notice, he said you will have trouble, not might. But, he went on in that same verse, he goes on to say, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In other words, beyond this world, ultimately, all will be well. All will be well, and all manner of things will be well. This is his promise, his covenant to all generations. Now, last week, we talked a lot about the word covenant. Do you remember that? Covenant, a promise that governs a relationship between and among people and between God and people. Nancy, you missed it. You missed it. I talked about covenants and loan agreements. I know. And guess what? Every single person here, including my mother, fell asleep. Boom, they were out. The only thing that woke them up was Brian Martin hitting the floor so hard that it woke everybody up. Yeah, we talked about loan agreement covenants. Okay. In our first reading today, from the very beginning of the Bible, in the 9th chapter of Genesis, the word covenant appeared 8 times in those few verses that we heard today from Julie. I don't know if you noticed that. Covenant, 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 8 times. God established a new covenant for all generations, and then he tied it up in a what? In a bow. He tied it all up in a bow. God had flooded the entire world, but he promised that he would never do that again. And he set the rainbow in the sky as a reminder to all of us and to himself, he said, and to himself, of his everlasting covenant. But here's the thing. God did not say that other bad things, terrible things, would not happen. He didn't even say that there wouldn't be other floods. Terrible floods. He didn't say that. That is not what he said. And that is not what Jesus said. Not in the Bible, and not to Julian of Norwich. No, it is beyond our comprehension for now, but bad things are going to happen, and they must happen. They must happen. And so, here we are in the summer of 2025, in the month wrapping up of July of 2025. And we've endured a month of devastating floods, haven't we? Unimaginable, incomprehensible loss from floods. And sometimes all we can do is grieve and weep, just as Jesus wept, and cling to the covenant of Jesus Christ for all generations, that someday, somehow, somewhere over the rainbow, all will be well. Amen.